made it 1 year.
Yep.
We made it. We're still alive. We didn't kill each other.
Yeah. Between the podcast and the pandemic, we still didn't kill each other. It's pretty surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still going. Both of them.
And ironically enough, we are actually doing this while she's napping.
Yeah, we finally got back to that.
So, cheers to you for 1 year.
Cheers with my podcasting. Cucumber water.
Well, I'm drinking seltzer. Raspberry lime seltzer by yeah. Schweppes.
Yeah, well, it Schweppes is like noon, kid. So.
Yeah. It's noon o'clock.
Yep.
Noon o'clock here in Rhode Island. Yeah, exactly 1 year ago today, we released episode one, which was it the social media episode?
I think so.
Was that the first one?
Yeah, using social media as parents.
There you go. So, I mean, does it feel like a year to you?
Yeah, I think in some ways it went by really fast and it doesn't feel like a year. But then I think about how much we've done and how much we've covered. And all the people that we've met, that it kind of feels like, some of them, it feels like we've known them forever.
So we'll get into that.
Yeah.
Of course. And
even just how we've changed our setup. Like, we've come such a long way. I remember the very first time that we recorded, we
had the little desk.
No, even before that, we pulled out the folding table.
Yeah, we didn't release that episode.
Right. That was like our practice episode.
Yeah.
But still, I remember setting that whole thing up, and before we really had an actual setup.
Yeah.
We've come a long way.
Hey, so welcome to While She's Napping, 1 year anniversary episode. I am Adam.
And I'm Cindy.
And yeah, 1 year. If you weren't pregnant, maybe we'd be drinking champagne.
Yeah. That's what I was saying with my cucumber water. Yeah. It doesn't get much more exciting than that for me.
You know, a lot of podcasts, and this is, you know, it's whatever, things happen. Unless you're financially backed by a pretty decent sponsor, or you have a sort of machine, a podcasting company behind you producing your content, or you're Joe Rogan, a lot of people aren't able to do this consistently. So I applaud the effort to consistently put out content. Because it's not easy. It's not easy to, mm-hmm. you know, shift subjects every week,
right?
And try to come up with something to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of why I think our focus has just kind of naturally expanded and shifted as we've progressed. You know, we kind of started talking, even though we only had one at the time when we started. We had one child who was not even 2 years old yet.
Right.
But we still kind of felt like maybe we would talk mostly about our experience as parents, especially moving into the pandemic and like what that looked like for us.
Out the window.
Yeah. And our relationship and marriage. And we did a couple episodes that kind of focused on that. But then there's just so much shit happening in the world that yeah. it was like, this is like our one time during the week where you and I sit down and have a conversation. Yeah. Uninterrupted.
Yeah. Because usually when we have a conversation and she's out of her chair, she'll destroy shit.
Yeah.
While we're trying to talk.
Right. Or she'll purposefully misbehave to get our attention.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Exactly. Or she'll, mommy, yeah. or whatever. Like, yeah.
She'll slam on the window.
Yeah.
I wasn't banging the window. Yes, you were. I was doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Right. Exactly. So anyway, I feel like that's kind of, for me, that's why I was interested in sort of branching out to just talking about current events and other right. things going on, because it was our only chance to really do that with each other. And it was fun to include other people in the conversation.
Of course. All right. So before we dive in, I just want to, you know, do a little bit of house cleaning, and then we can, you know, pretty much stroke our egos for the next hour. First of all, we'd like to thank everybody that has been listening to us consistently for the past year, or if you are a new listener and you're sort of, you jumped on halfway through, or maybe this is the first time you're joining us, we welcome you. We appreciate the download. We appreciate the listen, and we appreciate the participation. Moreover, the month of March has been outstanding for us. Our growth has increased by 11.9%. We'll call it 12. And the amount of countries that have listened to us for the past month has been a lot. And it makes me happy. So we got obviously the US, Canada, Iceland, Germany, Sweden, France, Russia, Ireland, the UK, Switzerland, Brazil, Belgium, Argentina, Australia, Finland, Mexico, Netherlands, Norway, Romania, Singapore, and Taiwan. That's overwhelming for me.
Yeah.
Our voice, our content has been reaching globally. Mm-hmm. That's overwhelming. It's not that I don't have faith in you for this to happen. I don't have faith in myself for this to happen. So that being said, we appreciate it. Whether you found us via Instagram or Reddit, we appreciate you guys giving us the opportunity to fill your day with content, whether it's entertaining to you or just plain stupid from my mouth. I get it. But I appreciate it. Yeah, we appreciate it. So, if you're just joining us and you want to know where to find us, we're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. We're also on YouTube. The audio is streamed there. You can, you know, subscribe to us, like that content there too. And if you're listening to us wherever platform that offers a review system, whether 5 stars and, you know, you can leave a quick comment, we appreciate the full boat. We appreciate the A+ rating, whatever that translates to your podcatcher. We'd appreciate it. Yeah. And if you want to get in touch with us on social media, you can.
We are primarily on Instagram at While She's Napping. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/whileshesnapping and on Twitter at She's Napping Pod. Or you can always email us at whileshesnapping@gmail.com.
So the way I want to structure this today is we're going to pretty much, because next week we're doing something similar. But this week, I just want to discuss, you know, this podcast, what it has meant to you. Maybe we can reflect on some episodes that were outside of the top 10, aka the polls that we put up on the Instagram. And then on the second half of the show, we can discuss the polls and break them down. And I'm sure we're going to be able to talk a lot about those specific episodes in the process. But just for the sake of transparency, from March of 2020 all the way to today, the top 10 episodes that we'll be discussing, sort of not in detail, but in a little bit of detail, I guess, on the second half of the show, the number one downloaded, most listened to episode was climate change. That's surprising to me. Not that it's not an important topic, but of all the topics, I didn't expect climate change.
Yeah, and that was one of our earliest episodes.
Yeah. So shout out to everybody that, you know, believes in climate change and wants to do something about it, because we pretty much broke down the science versus disbelief. That was the subtitle. The fat acceptance community was number 2. Doesn't surprise me. Cancel culture part 1 was number 3. The Mandela effect was number 4. There was a lot of criticisms, constructive criticisms about that episode saying, you know, those in support of the Mandela effect sort of, I don't want to say came at us.
Well, but they just pointed out that there were better examples out there. And whatever. Yeah.
The 90s episode was number 5. Toxic masculinity, number 6. The Rhode Island centered episode was number 7. Here's to all the dads. That's the Father's Day episode was number 8. The MLM episode was number 9. And So You Want to Have a Kid was number 10. Those are our top 10 episodes. So sort of getting away from that, and we'll save all those to the second half. Is there anything, any specific episode that stands out to you that you're like, I really fucking love that episode, or any specific episode that stands out to you that says this is where we hit our groove? Where, let's start right there. When do you think we really became While She's Napping?
That's a really hard question. I wanted to preface this whole conversation with...
You don't remember it.
So it's a running inside joke in our family and circle of friends. I have a terrible memory.
Yeah.
So a lot of... and I think it's become worse since I've had a kid. Like, the lack of sleep. And then, of course, with the pandemic on top of it and all the stress. Like, I am so bad at remembering things. And this whole year feels like a... like it's all blurred together.
Sure.
So I wanted to preface that with, I'm probably going to be really bad at thinking of things off the top of my head, but when you say something that rings a bell, then I will be able to dive in.
Okay. I think.
So you start.
Sure. I think where we hit our groove and first pivoted towards, we should break away from marriage talk and kids talk. Because if you look in the beginning, right, we have the social media, how we handle that as parents with our child in terms of not putting pictures of her up on social media or even mentioning her name mm-hmm. on this show. We talk, second episode was the importance of fitness as family. We want right. to be that sort of role model and, you know, develop and really ingratiate healthy behaviors with our child. Pregnancy to birth was the third episode. So again, it's sort of marriage / parenting related. Mm-hmm. Climate change, I think we coincided that with, you know, how it's important to have a future for our children.
Right. And how we want to raise our kids to appreciate the yeah. natural world and stuff like that. And I think, did you skip gender roles? That was our second episode.
Was it? Then, yeah, I probably
skipped
it.
Which also related to how we, because we brainstormed like how we think we might be raising our child differently if she was a boy.
Okay.
So again, very connected to parenting.
Yep. And things we tell our past selves, we sort of link that to parenting and how we'd want to communicate things to our child. I think plandemic is when we first pivoted and hit that groove.
Yeah.
We're not fucking around.
So I was thinking this, that's the one that jumped out at me as like, especially since it was different because it was not a planned episode. We did it as a bonus, like yes. middle of the week emergency. Like we have to just
discuss this.
Yeah, we have to like word vomit all of the things that we're thinking about because this is infuriating what is happening. And I feel like another thing that sort of started there and has continued in to be an underlying theme or something of interest throughout a lot of our episodes has been the concept of misinformation and disinformation, especially with social media. You know, it was connected obviously to the whole everything to do with COVID and now the vaccines that are coming out and during the election, and we talked about QAnon. So I agree that episode was sort of our initial pivot to topics that weren't connected to parenting really in any way.
Yeah. And you know, we didn't use names. It impacted us because we saw a lot of our friends and family sort of sharing this on Facebook. And I just remember saying, you know, why does everything have to end with an ellipsis? Why is everything that needs to be impactful makes you think sometimes, ... Like, mm-hmm. what? That's the one thing that stood out to me for that. But that episode in particular made me realize, okay, we're not just a parent. Because I think there's something a little condescending about, hey, we don't know what we're doing when it comes to parenting and stuff. I'll be the first to admit it. But to have the balls to put up a podcast and be like, we don't know what we're doing, but we're going to tell you what we're doing. You know?
Well, I think it depends on how it's presented. I feel like
I was trying to present it as, hopefully you can relate to this.
Yes. And I think we were thinking of it as conversation starters.
Yeah.
Like, or even an opportunity, just like we said, since we don't get to talk one-on-one uninterrupted very often, it was an opportunity for us to actually talk these things through and see where we each stood on these different facets of parenting. But I don't think we ever presented it as we are family
like
therapists
or
parenting experts child behavior specialists or anything like that. Like, we were like, we have no idea what the hell we're doing. We are first-time parents of a very young child, and we have many challenges ahead of us.
Yeah.
So I think it was more of just like this is probably pretty relatable because, like most parents, we are completely flying by the seat of our pants here.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, going back to the plandemic episode, you mentioned that was an impromptu episode. That was a midweek thing. That's what sort of threw off the, this is episode 51, 52. We've been doing this for 52 weeks, but there, I think this will be the 53rd episode. Or maybe not, I don't know. But we had planned that week for a Mother's Day episode, right? So that's you discussing you as a mom.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to do that weekend, but because of pandemic, we had an impromptu episode in the middle of the week. And after that planned episode of Mother's Day, that's when you see the shift mm-hmm. from not talking about, because then it's Rhode Island, MLMs, baby boomers versus millennials, yeah. 90s, atheists.
Like, we didn't get back to parenting until like five episodes later.
Parenting as atheists.
Right. Yeah. But that was a much deeper conversation just right. about religious beliefs and all of that. But at least it linked back to parenting like we did in the beginning. Yeah.
You know? So we have this sort of paradigm shift
yeah.
where we, I think that's the point when we realized, okay, we're onto something, and you know, I can be somewhat entertaining when it comes to content and, you know, trying to compel people to listen. It's difficult. So I think we did a good job doing that. That being said, what is for you one of the things that you've learned during this process, or what is the one of the benefits that you've had during this process? So we've talked about having an hour to have a conversation with each other. Outside of that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think we probably communicate better when we're recording.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to look like an asshole in front of other people.
I thought anytime we get into an argument,
I wish we were recording.
Stick a microphone in front of me.
Yeah.
Even if we're not recording, it right. will probably go better.
Probably. Because we make an active effort not to talk over each other and things like that, not to interrupt, which is actually a really big problem for both of us when we're fighting off mic. And so I think it's been a good opportunity for us to, you know, have, I don't want to say civil. It's not like we're not civil to each other normally, but you know what I mean. Like we're able to have conversations that don't devolve into arguments completely. And it's more of a debate and a healthy discussion, I think.
Especially when there's input
yes,
from other
yes,
people to sort definitely. Of drive the conversation.
Right. And I think there have both been instances where each of us have been validated in our opinion when there's things that we disagree on. And I think that helps us realize the other person's opinion isn't totally ridiculous and right. it is valid. And there are other people who share that. And I think it's helped us sort of respect each other's, you know, perspectives a little bit more. And I think for me, on a personal level, I think it's given me a lot more confidence just to say what I think. And that a lot of times, and I've experienced this in other circumstances too, you know, like in the professional world or whatever, like if you're thinking something kind of pervasively, if there's something that's nagging in the back of my mind, I'm usually not the one to say anything or to ask the question or to speak up about it because I'm afraid it's going to be stupid.
Right.
And this project has taught me that if I just say it, there's a good chance that a lot of people are thinking the same thing or yeah. something similar. I mean, there's always going to be people who disagree, but I'm just saying like a lot of the things that I'm thinking of are very relatable, and sometimes it's good to just be the one to say it.
Yeah.
And it sparks the conversation.
That is so along those lines, that is something that I have learned, not just with this podcast, but, you know, mostly with this podcast compared to the previous podcasts that I've done, because previous podcasts that I've done are all sports related,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's very hard to say something sociologically controversial
right.
in a sports thing, unless it has to do with maybe a player taking a knee or something, even though I completely agree with their right to free speech and I don't disagree with the practice at all. But you can picture a sports commentator ripping a player for that and there being backlash.
Right.
Deservedly so. So for me with this is a lot more broad when it comes to the topic. So you're going to piss someone off.
Right.
It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no better example than that than the Fat Acceptance Community episode. And before we even started this project, I told you, I said, there's a good chance you're going to say something completely accidentally that you think is 100% innocuous and you think it's data-driven, science-driven, factual. How can anybody be upset about this? And I said, there will be people that are going to be upset and you just have to swallow it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no better example than that. I know we're going to talk about that episode in a little bit more detail in the second half of the show, but there's no better example than that than the Fat Acceptance Community, because, you know, I listened to that back and some of it makes me cringe. I said, oh, I shouldn't have said that. But then I said, but I mean it. But I believe it.
Yeah.
Right? I believe in these things. I believe in these points that I'm making. So if people are not going to like me and what I'm saying for something that I legitimately believe in, and it's sort of, actually it is data driven and science driven, to me, that's no different than someone hating me or shitting on me for encouraging that person to wear a mask.
Right. Or because you're pro-vax or something. Yeah.
It's no different.
I think, yeah, I do remember that in the beginning too. I was very careful with my words and like, I mean, we even talked about it on the episodes we did on cancel culture about, you know, consequences of saying the wrong thing and how to go about handling that. And neither of us have ever done anything where we've been really in the public.
No.
Like, you know what I mean? Aren't. We've never, well, that's what I mean. But there are other people, I mean, people from all over the world listening to our show. Yeah. But I'm saying like,
majority of people, if they don't like what we say, they just stop listening.
Right, right. So, but I still think it's been good practice to sort of balance, yes, we should say what we think. I mean, that's kind of the point of this. Like, it's our platform, it's our show, and it's our content, and we should be expressing ourselves and being vulnerable enough to do that. And at the same time, you know, trying to be,
not to be blatantly insulting.
Right, to
people.
Be respectful, try to do our due diligence with trying to educate ourselves on the topic enough to be able to talk about it in a respectful and, you know, a way that at least is meaningful.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. You know, I wasn't making fun of people or calling people names
in any
of these episodes.
Yeah.
If anything, maybe in the Plandemic episode I did because I was just so pissed off.
We were upset.
Or the sports and Black Lives Matter movement episode that we did, you know, I remember discussing, you know, people get upset with players taking a knee, but when it comes to listening to the national anthem at their house when the Super Bowl's on, they're sitting on their fat ass eating chicken wings. And to me, that's me saying you're being a hypocrite. You're being a hypocrite with these things because there is a stereotypical vision of a person that you get when you think of that type
of
person.
Well, that's what it is. I mean, you are implementing a stereotype and broad brushing people, but you're acknowledging that that's what you're not. It's not literal what you're saying.
Oh, listen, full disclosure, I'm sitting on my fat ass eating chicken
you're not
wings.
You're standing up either.
And not standing. Yeah. No, I'm not. And you can call me un-American. I don't know. But my point is you have to be fearless in what you say. And when there's pushback in something, from what I have learned from doing this, from dealing with people in the sports world and stuff, that, yeah, you know, some of the things you say are going to upset people, but don't worry, in 2 weeks, it's going to go away.
Well, yes. I mean, I think to the criticisms that aren't constructive or valuable or help you learn something, like, I feel like if we say something or characterize something in a way that's inaccurate, and someone reaches out and says, hey, that's not really what this is, or you kind of misinterpreted this thing that you talked about, and it's a learning opportunity
for
us.
We're open to that.
Completely. And I feel like that's most of what the responses have been. We have received constructive criticisms, and we always say we are not experts on any of the topics that we're going to talk about. And if you're, as a listener, you know something that we don't, or you happen to be an expert in this field or on this topic, we really want to hear from you. Like, I feel like we've been very transparent about that, and we welcome those opportunities to learn.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, a lot of the responses that we get, I'll call back to the incel episode, which has been a pretty heavily listened to episode for the month of March. I think we recorded that in February.
I think so.
A lot of people have been listening to that. I say to myself, because we got a response on YouTube about someone saying, you know, the incel movement is this, we're not all this, we're not all white. And I said to myself, we never said you're all white. We never said there weren't people of color in this community. We never said they don't exist. You know, so clearly to me, and we've acknowledged this on another episode, to me it's saying you didn't listen to the episode. Maybe you listened to 5 minutes, and when you heard something that upset you, you turned it off and responded. You know, you didn't listen to the full content. And for me, I'm not going to give you a response then. Whereas if you listen to the whole episode and you say, look, you were wrong about this, 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 and some of those things that we were wrong about were later in the episode, I say, okay, clearly you've listened and this is constructive. We want to learn. Thank you.
Right.
But if you accuse us, and this happened with the Fat Acceptance episode too, if you accuse us of saying something that we blatantly did not say, and
we clearly said the opposite.
Yes, there's audio to prove it.
Yeah.
I don't care to respond to you.
Right.
I just don't. And again, it goes away in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, and that's been a big lesson for me because I'm notoriously a huge people pleaser. I'm very sensitive. I'm very much an empath, and I hate making people feel bad. I hate feeling like people are mad at me or like have misinterpreted something that I said. It's just, I think it's harder for me. I think you've had more practice in that and letting, and we had a whole episode on letting go. Yeah. About how I'm terrible at letting things go, and you do it a lot more easily than I do. So yeah, that's been something that I've had to work on.
Yeah, yeah. Moving away from that, though, I think it's important, though, to acknowledge that this show has given me more of a backbone, I think, for you the same. Because what I remind you of is saying, you know, like if someone was an anti-masker, you would say, you're being ridiculous, I don't care, and you'd brush it off.
Well, yes, but I think we talked a little bit about this actually in the climate change episode about communications and yes, and if they were just being an asshole and they weren't willing to have a conversation, but I'm saying if it was someone, especially someone that I cared about, and they were strongly anti-vax or anti-mask or whatever, and we actually were able to sit down and have a conversation. And I've had conversations like this with loved ones about climate change in particular, but pre-pandemic. And they're coming at it with, well, this is my understanding of this, and this is why I don't believe this. And and it's an actual legitimate conversation. I'm completely open to having the conversation. I'm not automatically going to blow you off because I think your belief is ridiculous. I mean, I might be eye-rolling in my head a little bit because it's just frustrating because sometimes it seems like you're... It's hard to get through and surpass some of the misinformation once it's like so ingrained in someone's head. But that's a huge challenge that I think we just face with so many things right now.
Yeah. Another benefit for this, meeting the people that we've met and interacting with the people that we've met. And this goes for the negative ones too. We've already discussed the benefits of the negatives, but the positives far, far outweigh all of that, specifically the babes, very, very, I wouldn't say impromptu, but very like immediate click.
Yes.
Interacting with them and socializing with them. Other people I've met through the show via Reddit being very receptive to the content and very positive in their feedback, sometimes even constructively so.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very grateful for that. I am not the type of person that likes to, take deep dives into Reddit and content. I'm very busy, so I try to listen to as many episodes that people post on r/podcast and podcasting and stuff as much as possible because, you know, it's community. I don't like to be that guy that just dumps an episode and not return the favor for someone. So in that aspect, that community has been very uplifting. And if it wasn't for that sort of Reddit community, we would have never known about MySpace with you. And
Didn't they found us on
Reddit?
Reddit? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think they gave us their Instagram link. And we listened to their first episode and pretty much every episode they published. And I know things are difficult for them in terms of time right now. But you know, whether they're podcasting or not makes no difference. Well, it makes a difference to me. I prefer it, but it's not my life. But I'm glad we were able to make that connection.
Yeah. That I feel like, so they're the ones that really stick out as like new friends that we've made, people we really clicked with and connected with and have added a lot of value to our show as well, you know, being our only guests, I think, that we've had and our, you know, hopefully pretty regular guests. If we can make our schedules work, the time difference makes it challenging. But and in addition to that, I feel like there are other people that I, you know, acquaintances or whatever people from that maybe I'm still friends with on social media or something, but I haven't really talked to in forever, who
got just tighter,
happened to see us post or share an episode and they're like, oh, let's see what this person has to say. And we ended up connecting over, you know, a variety of different topics that we've talked about with, you know, several different people. And it's just been, especially in the age of COVID and during the pandemic when we haven't been doing a lot of socialization, it's been really great to reconnect with some of those people and realize how much we have in common and kind of have conversations that normally you would have, like if you ran into somebody that you knew at a party or you, you know, had a fire with some friends, you know, and just like you were just shooting the shit about whatever was going on in the world. Those things haven't been happening naturally this year. So it was sort of a platform for that to happen, which I really appreciated that connection.
Yeah, it's weird to me when we see our friends like via Zoom or something or FaceTime and they're like, oh, we listened to your episode. I appreciate it with all my heart. I appreciate it. But I'm the type of person that's just like, just don't talk to me about it because like I just, it makes me feel weird.
Oh, I don't feel that way at all.
Oh, I feel so strange talking about it.
Like, that's the point, is to kickstart the conversation.
No, I know, but I just feel so strange. Like, I probably pissed you off.
Well, so I feel sorry. Like it's, maybe, but I also feel like it's kind of weird because you're starting the conversation at an imbalance because they've only heard your side and you haven't heard them respond to like anything in real time while the conversation was happening. It's like they're responding all at once to an hour long conversation, which is not how conversations work. So I feel like it's like you have to give them the time to just like,
let me
say
listen
everything.
To you for an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Like you just respond for an hour. You know? So I feel like that. And I also find it hard to not repeat myself. Like I'm trying to remember what I said in the episode and what I actually said while I was talking to the person. So yeah, it's just the nature of the fact that they already listened to us ramble for an hour.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't be so concerned with it because they're still talking to me in a way. And if I really pissed them off,
they wouldn't bother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm doing all right. All right. We're a half hour into this. This was a good sort of kickstarter and recollection of the show in general. I just want to say before we break down the top 10 episodes, I really appreciate everybody's interaction, everybody's participation and listenership. I know I say that at the top of every show, but I'm the type of guy with the lowest of low self-esteems. And when I see that people from all over the globe are listening to not just the voice of my wife, you, Cindy, but my voice too, it means a lot to me. You know, especially those that take an hour out of their day. And I know podcasting is sort of a passive experience. You know, you're either working or doing laundry or doing housework, whatever. Just the fact that you hit play and gave us a chance to fill you with some sort of entertainment or, you know, just out of boredom, whatever. I really appreciate it. And, you know, we're not in a top 10. We're not highly ranked on the iTunes chart or whatever. But look, if we're averaging like 200 listens a week, to me, I'm thinking that's 200 people that if we were doing this live, we're doing that in front of every week. Mm-hmm. And imagine sitting down and talking in front of 200 people every week. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. It depends. But to me, it's just, that's amazing. I love it.
Yeah, especially when there's so much content out there. There's so many, like I can't even keep up with the podcast that I'm subscribed to. I always have a huge backlog of episodes. Yeah. So yeah, I completely agree. I think, and the fact that we have such a good, you know, group of consistent listeners who come back every week.
That's
and
what I'm saying.
No matter what I'm talking about, whatever, no matter what we are talking about, they, you know, are interested
keep
in
coming
hearing
back more. For more. Yeah. You know, it started, I had this idea of podcasting with you way before I brought it up to you. I want to say in January, February of 2020, when things were quote unquote normal.
Mm-hmm.
And
I still remember when you texted me the, I don't know, you were probably downstairs and I was upstairs.
No,
you
I was texted, at work.
Oh, you were. That's right before you were working from home. Yeah. And you were like, so I think we should start a podcast. And I was like, oh you said, well, we can call it While She's Napping. And I just like fell right into your trap. I don't remember exactly the order of how it went, but I said, and when are we supposed to do this? And you're like, dot, dot, dot.
While she's napping.
I was like, yeah, I asked for that.
That's usually how it goes, you know? And what kickstarted it for me was the pandemic. starting. I was like, well, there's no fucking better time.
Right. If we're ever going to do it, now's the time.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
You know, I was well-versed in how to start a podcast at that point.
Right.
Which will be next week's episode. But let's take a break here. We're going to break down the top 10. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
Before we do that, I knew we were due for a break, but I wanted to mention that you mentioned how you were so well versed in podcasting and everything.
I'm okay.
Okay, you were though, but you knew what you were doing from the technical side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you were very comfortable with talking on a microphone and interacting. Like most of your other podcast episodes were talking with a guest or talking with another person.
Yeah,
and anyway, I just wanted to say that I appreciate your confidence in me to this because it was not something that I was comfortable with in the beginning, something I had zero experience doing.
Well, everybody that listened to our first episode said, you have a fantastic podcasting voice.
Yeah, I know. I was
and
like,
I'm saying to myself, okay. I've been doing this shit for years and no one's ever said that. So you're saying mine sucks.
So anyway, we can get into the top 10, but I just wanted to say that because if it wasn't for you, you kind of really had to push me to take the dive and do it.
It's not easy.
And I'm glad
there's something very intimidating about a microphone being in front of your face.
Right.
Like I said, I've been in bands since I was 13, singing in bands. So I'm used to, you know, having people in front of me being in your most vulnerable position. And I think talking is much less vulnerable than singing.
I agree.
So having a microphone in front of you, for me, just I've been growing up with it. So
I mean, outside of drunken karaoke.
Right.
I haven't done that. Yeah.
It does take a lot. And this will be covered in next week's episode. But it does take a lot of vulnerability to put yourself out there for a podcast. But I don't want to digress any further.
Yeah.
No offense, but I do appreciate it. So our top 10 episodes, we did this March Madness style.
Yeah.
Right? I ranked the top 10 in the beginning of this episode. So what we did was 1 versus 10, 2 versus 9, et cetera, et cetera. All the way down to now, we have the final two.
Right.
The voting is not finished. So maybe by the time this episode is released, we'll have a better grasp on it. But I will say the last two episodes that have remained, I told you when we put up this poll, it's going to be these two episodes going up against each other. They are my favorite episodes that we've ever done.
Yeah, I wasn't totally surprised either.
But let's start with climate change. So this is, or do you want to go backwards? Do you want to go to 10 to 1 or 1 to 10?
Yeah, 10 to, well, because that was the, oh, you want to do them in order, not by polls?
Oh, we can do the poll. That's fine.
We can do the matchups.
Yeah, 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 that's fine.
Yeah, so the first round we did, we did 10 to 1 was climate change versus so you want to have a kid.
So you want to have a
kid.
So
just generally about having kids. I thought it was funny because the, because climate change was actually our first episode, our number one episode. And
it's
having kids was our number
episode,
10.
Yes.
But having kids won the poll in advance to the next round.
I think there's a difference we need to establish here. Most downloaded doesn't mean best, right?
True.
I think the topic is a grabber for people. And I think climate change, you know, even through the pandemic, it's some one of those hot button issues that everybody wants to talk about. Shout out to Greta.
and many others.
Yeah. So people listen to it. That doesn't necessarily mean they enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
They might have enjoyed other episodes better.
And people who were caught by the title of the science versus disbelief, it might be people who don't believe in climate change who listened and hated us.
You don't know
us.
Where
we and never
stood.
Listened again.
Yeah. Popping on that episode. Yeah. You didn't know beforehand. But shout out to my friend that I've met through the other podcast suggesting that we have an episode about, you know, having children, the decision to do it. I enjoyed that episode. I'm not surprised it won. You know, even though it's the 10th versus the one, the underdog won this.
Right. I think it was a very relatable episode.
Right. Yeah. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
But
And I think we should revisit that topic. Like, maybe we could look for when we actually did that one, and maybe a year after or around a year. Like,
we did that July 20th, 2020.
Okay. So this summer, before our second child arrives,
yeah,
that might be a good time to revisit that episode, yeah, about what has changed in that year, what we've learned,
yeah,
and what to expect with number two on the way.
All right. So having a kid won. Then it was fat acceptance versus MLMs.
Yeah. And MLMs won 100%.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. Look, again, you... Even though we got pushback on the fat acceptance community, we did get a lot of people that said, we agree with you.
Yeah.
And what's funny to me is the people that said it did it privately.
Right.
And I think, I'm not trying to stir the pot, I just think that speaks to the movement that, you know, it's as soon as you push back against it, you are the enemy. And for me, it's that episode really established my, I don't know, where I drew the line when it comes to, there are some things that I understand, like making fun of people where, you know, when it comes to their appearance, and I even said it in the episode, is terrible. You shouldn't do it. It's gross. I don't care what your weight is. I don't care what your body shape is. You should never be ridiculed or made fun of or discriminated against based on that alone, based off aesthetics. I think that's terrible. And I agree. But I will stay, I will, you know, stand my ground and say, you cannot be healthy and morbidly obese. And I don't think that's a hot take. Apparently it is. But by definition, scientifically, if you are morbidly obese, morbidly, there's a reason the term morbid is, yeah, in there. You are not healthy. You just aren't. And that is, for me, the slippery slope of the healthy at every size movement, because I'm saying it coincides the word every. So if you are 600 pounds and bedridden, are you healthy?
Yeah. I mean, we talked about how it's felt like size. There was some misnomers, like we felt like we understood the intent or the, you know, what it was meant to mean,
yeah,
but how it was hard to connect all the dots.
Yeah, we don't have to revisit it.
No, and I feel like one thing that maybe is, it's just, it is, it's really hard, it's a sensitive subject, and I think we've kind of failed to preface it with the reason why. I mean, you approach that topic from a very like, it's from your background in ethics and ethical theory and your personal experience.
Yeah.
So I feel like those are two things that aren't necessarily always included in this conversation.
Right.
And it's, those are fully the things that drive you and your opinion about,
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And I feel like we could have done a better job sort of like setting the stage for that. But I don't disagree with what,
yeah,
you're,
yeah,
saying.
Yeah. Like, you may think this is funny or whatever, but, you know, I'm super into comics, specifically Batman. And everybody knows the story of Batman, right? His parents are killed in front of him, and he uses that as a motivator to fight crime so other people don't have to experience what he did. There is a sort of a metaphor in there. So, like, my father passed away because of terrible eating habits. So I'm thinking, okay, that took my dad away.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, my Batman is to combat that forever and to eliminate any pushback or any movement, you know, or whether it's vocally, I'm not going to go protest the movement or anything, but my platform is this podcast. And I say, look, you can't be, show me someone that's 500 pounds and 75 years old. Find them for me. You can't find them. And it's because they've unfortunately passed away. And I'm not saying it's obesity, period. I'm saying obviously other things contributed to that, but obesity is definitely a heavy, no pun intended, mm-hmm, driver into that.
Yeah.
So for me, it's just, yeah, that's, it's very personally impactful for me, and I will verbally spar with anybody,
yeah,
to the,
no,
death.
I think it's all valid, and I know we need to move on, but
yeah,
we could revisit some of the nuances within that conversation. I feel like it could be their own episode, like talking about you know, injustices in terms of, like, we'd mentioned it, I think, on the I don't remember which episode. about food deserts and inequality when it comes to access to healthy food and historical issues with mistrust with the medical community in certain for mostly for people of color. And there's a lot of validity behind those things. And I don't think those are things that we naturally think about because we are white middle upper class people. Yeah. Like we never had to think about it. But I think those are some of the things that are underlying that when they're not taken into consideration, I think can spark a very emotional backlash. So anyway, I learned a lot from that.
MLMs. I love that episode because it discusses what we've learned in our experience, or mostly you.
Yeah, I was grateful for the opportunity to finally talk about that because I feel like I was just like living in shame that I had ever done that.
And a lot of people still are, as a result of the pandemic, are still getting grabbed.
I know.
By these MLMs.
I know.
It's sad.
It is. But I feel like that was probably, for some people, that might have been kind of eye-opening to hear some of the experience and like what those businesses can do to people.
Yeah.
All right. So MLMs one.
Yeah. Cancel culture.
Cancel culture part one.
Part one.
Which we just did part two a few weeks ago. So cancel culture versus the Father's Day episode. Those were tied 50-50.
Okay.
So yeah, we'll go back to that. We moved them on both into the next round. Next we had,
well, do you want to discuss that at all?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, no, if we're going to put them against another poll, that's fine. So Mandela effect versus Rhode Island.
Yes. So
no brainer.
Yeah. Rhode Island definitely won. I think the Mandela effect episode was fun. I think it's something that we've always kind of joked about.
It's
and talked
definitely
about.
A fun episode to listen to.
It is. And I would be interested, like, I wish that the people who reached out and said we didn't do enough research, there are better examples, told us what those examples were so we could maybe do a part two and talk more about it.
Listen, I am nothing except surface level, okay?
And I think we were very transparent about that too. Like, we were just talking about the ones that are the most popular examples in pop culture that people talk about.
We're just having fun. Relax.
And I think it would have been interesting to, I forgot to mention it when we did the episode on the Are We in a Simulation? Mm. And it made me wonder about, like, is the Mandela effect part of the simulation? Like, was it a glitch in the simulation and that's why the Mandela effect happens?
No, someone planting it in there.
Yeah, just
and fucking with us.
Yeah. Like, so that would have been kind of funny to link those two together.
But Rhode Island won.
Rhode Island won.
We'll discuss that in detail. So.
Next was another
no-brainer.
Yeah, blowout. The 90s versus toxic masculinity in the 90s.
Love
won
that
by 100%.
I love both of them, but 90s is.
Well, that was just so fun. And again, it's so relatable to people in our generation and our peers.
I am proud of the toxic masculinity episode. I think that's one of the ones, it's a very, I don't want to say underrated because it's in the top 10. Obviously, people enjoyed it. But the back and forth that we had, very good.
That was one of the episodes or topics I think that we disagree on.
Oh, it
the
is.
The most?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And so that was a good exercise in us. And what you heard on the episode was not the end of the conversation by any means.
It's still going on.
It's still going on. And it did include other people. Some friends and family had reached out and we were having like group text discussions about it. So it's a really involved topic. It's probably one that maybe we could revisit, especially.
Yeah, an hour is not good enough.
No. And there was actually a comment, I think maybe on YouTube, one of our listeners had said,
you should do a midweek.
You were just getting into the meat of it when you had to wrap up. Like, so that might be an interesting one to revisit sometime.
It's not that toxic masculinity is a bad episode. It's just the 90s is fucking great.
Yeah. Well, because the 90s were great, period. All right. So that was the round one episode. So round two, having kids versus cancel culture. So we already talked about the kids episode. The cancel culture, I feel like when we did that first part one episode, we were focused on the J.K. Rowling letter.
Yes. Yes.
That was kind of what prompted
and
it.
And the Noam Chomsky.
Yes. Everyone that had signed on to it.
That's right.
Yeah. So it was, I feel like that was the current event that prompted us to talk about it when we did. But we talked about it more generally as a concept.
Yeah.
And some of the initial reactions of some of the social media platforms and everything. But I feel like that has come a long way. There have been a lot of examples of cancel culture. And there's more discussion about cancel culture versus accountability culture and what that looks like. So that's why we did the part two last time, focusing on a few specific instances.
Yeah,
but
I wonder
that's
if
not
we,
going anywhere.
No, I wonder if this the current debate about cancel culture and whatnot, if that wasn't in the forefront now, if this would even be in the top 10. Because I have a feeling, this is how I do podcasts. If I want to research a topic, I'll just type it in the search. I don't care when it was produced.
Right.
I'll just listen to the episode. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling a lot of people do that as well. Yeah. So if now that cancel culture is in the front of people, well, it's not in the front. It's not on the forefront of people's political debates, but it is there. Mm-hmm. If people are interested in listening to an episode about it via podcast, they might do the same thing. And because this was so heavily downloaded, this might be one of the first ones that you see. I don't know. I should actually check that out. But
People might also find it through the hashtags on social media.
Mm-hmm.
In a similar sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm sure that's one that we'll revisit. So Having Kids ended up winning.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I guess it's just because it's so relatable. And maybe it's because, I mean, cancel culture is an interesting topic, but I feel like it's also something you could kind of get exhausted by, because when something happens, it's like everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing it all over your social media, and a lot of podcasts are talking about it. And having kids is just, I feel like that's a topic that can never get old, because there's always a hilarious story or something new that happens, or parents have a different experience. So having kids won. The next matchup was MLMs versus the 90s.
There's no contest.
No contest. The 90s won.
Yeah.
It wasn't as close as I thought it would be, though. It was 70-30.
We're going to talk about it. Just hang tight.
And then Father's Day versus Rhode Island.
No contest. Look, I appreciate people, because that was a very me-centric episode, the Father's Day one. I think I even cried in that episode, if you want to listen to me cry, or at least get really close.
Yeah.
That episode meant a lot to me, because that I think that was the first time you took the ball.
I was interviewing you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, for the record, the other time you cried was in the pregnancy to birth episode, right before you said probably one of the best lines of the entire podcast series. You were reflecting on the birth of our daughter, and you were talking about when she was born, and I picked her up and put her on my chest.
Oh, smells like pussy.
Yeah, and you got it all teary-eyed telling the story. And then you said she smelled like pussy.
Yeah.
So many people I know were just like crying laughing when they heard you tell that story. It was like the delivery of the story was, no pun intended, it was about the delivery of our child. But yeah, that was the first time you cried on the podcast.
Yeah. But I appreciate, even though this was against Rhode Island.
Yeah.
No contest.
Yeah.
Even though I appreciate people listening to that episode, it meant a lot to me on a personal level, the Father's Day one. Here's to all the dads. But Rhode Island, it's, come on.
Yeah. Near and dear to our hearts.
Yeah.
And a lot of our listeners are from Rhode Island.
Yeah.
So
I might circle back and listen to the Father's Day episode when Father's Day comes, or maybe we'll talk about maybe a part two. We're doing a lot of part twos. I don't want to just go through our entire catalog.
Well, I think so. That was actually going to be part of the next polls that we put up. I was going to do the last matchup, so the championship round for the favorite episode of all time. And then we were going to do an open question for people to submit topic ideas for the next coming year. And it could include revisiting some, like we talked about how toxic masculinity.
Yeah, I don't mind revisiting some. I just don't want to go through the catalog.
Oh, no, of course not. Yeah. But the ones that feel like there was more to say, or there's been things that have happened since we've recorded that would add to the conversation, I think we can revisit those. So Rhode Island automatically got the bye.
Because it got the most votes.
It got the most votes.
Yeah.
So Rhode Island is automatically in the championship round. The semifinal round was Having Kids versus the 90s, and the 90s won.
Yeah. I told you when we started this poll, I said, it's going to be Rhode Island versus the 90s.
Yeah.
100%.
Those were so fun. And we did a lot of fun polls with those. I think those were probably, this was back when Facebook was cooperating and we did the polls on Facebook. But I think those were the two episodes that we did the most polls. Like I was doing them every day, multiple times a day. Like we had so many things for people to vote on and talk about. And it was just really fun.
Which one do you want to talk about first? Well, first of all, what's going to win? We haven't put it up yet as of this recording Sunday afternoon.
I don't want to bias it if people haven't voted yet. I don't want to say which one I think will win.
Okay. Which one was your favorite? Because that doesn't necessarily mean that's the one that's going to win. I loved the Rhode Island episode. I fucking love that episode.
So I was going to say I liked it too. But one thing I wanted to say is that I feel like both these two episodes were also my favorite titles.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think... All right, so I came up with the title, the one where we talk about the 90s, because you love Friends.
Right.
And I think that, you know, sort of coincides with the 90s. People will get it. You came up with the title for Rhode Island.
It's Full of Weenus.
Yeah, because people are like, full of what? What the fuck?
And it was a play on, because we talked about the rustic drive-in and how it's shaped like a penis. And then
and
we talked
weenus,
about... Yeah.
And like, that's... Rhode Island doesn't pronounce their R's. Rhode Islanders.
Right. So those were my two favorite episode titles, too. Along with apparently favorite episodes.
Anytime Rhode Island is trending on Twitter, I always put out a tweet.
Yeah, and Rhode Island
saying,
probs, Rhode Island problems. Yeah, they sometimes retweet the things that we put up and vice versa.
Said, you need to listen to this episode now that Rhode Island is trending.
Right.
Which one did you like the most?
So I will say, for a very specific reason, the 90s, because I got to finally prove you wrong on the Limp Bizkit Britney Spears debate.
I don't think that's true at all.
It's in the numbers.
Okay.
Whatever. It's data driven. It's in evidence.
It's in the podcast reviews too. On,
yes, it is.
Apple.
Yep.
I love that Rhode Island episode. I've never been this. First of all, I love the country we live in terms of what it's supposed to, you know, signify on paper, what it's supposed to.
Right.
There's a lot of bruises. There's a lot of ugly things about America. I'm not going to shy away from that. I've never been, though, a America kind of guy. Like, I don't rock American flags.
You're sitting there in a Canada t-shirt.
Yeah, I don't rock, you know, America things on the 4th of July. I'm not that patriotic. And I've always sort of felt the same about Rhode Island. I liked it living here because I've been living here my whole life. But it's more of, you know, I've just been here.
Right, so you didn't know anything else.
Yeah, I'm just, this is it. Then when you deep dive into it and you research it, you're just like, oh, this place is fucking great.
Yeah.
And if I was someone that didn't live here, that was researching the things that we did and put it on that, I'd say, I want to go here.
Yeah, we had a couple listeners, especially a lot of your friends from your previous podcast
from
who
Canada.
Live in Canada.
Yeah.
They were like, well, I have my Rhode Island bucket list. Thanks, that was easy.
Yes, yes. I am the most proud of that episode. I think that's the most fun. I think that's the funniest episode we've done. I think it is one of the best back and forths. And I can just imagine people listening to the stores we talk about, to the places we talk about, that have never stepped foot or even heard of Rhode Island. And they're just thinking, what the fuck are these people talking about?
And you know
what?
That turned into a really fun conversation on one of our Zoom date nights with the babes. Mm. We talked about, like, because they're from the complete opposite coast. They're from California. Mm. And so we were talking about things that are specific to Rhode Island or the East Coast, and some of the specific words that we use that, and we ended up, I think, like quizzing them.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what
a grinder,
like, a grinder is? Or like, and it was hilarious to hear their responses. And they had a
carriage or a shopping
carriage.
Cart.
Yeah. And Stop and Shop. They didn't know what that was.
Oh, they love, like, Stop and Shop.
Stop and Shop. Yeah. Like, what does that mean? And they had a few to throw back at us, like West Coast lingo that we weren't super familiar with, but I think a lot of it we had heard, even though we don't use it. A lot of the stuff that's so specific to New England and Rhode Island, they were like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, when I found out they lived on a boat, I said, oh, you guys can just sail on over it, because we're the ocean state. I'm just like, oh fuck, you can't just sail your boat through
the
country.
Well, they can't, they just have to go all the way around.
That's what I'm saying. There's no, like, cut through.
Yeah, it's going to take, well, they got to cut through somewhere in, like, Central America, Mexico area.
But I digress. I love the Rhode Island episode. That's by far my favorite episode we did. The 90s is really good, too, in my opinion. I don't like to brag about things, but that 90s episode brought me back. And again, it's a conflict of what I feel to be one of the hidden gems of the fucking world being Rhode Island, and growing up in possibly the best decade ever.
Yeah.
Like, having that be my coming of age and reliving all the things that we used to, not even all of them, just like the major.
It was hard
beats.
To pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you think 90s.
That's my favorite for a lot, for the nostalgia and for the fact that I proved you wrong.
I don't think so. But I do. Look, if you grew up in the 90s and, you know, you're new to the show, kick back, dig through the archives, download the one where we talk about the 90s. Or if you've never heard of Rhode Island before and you think we mean Long Island, we don't. Just check out the Rhode Island episode. I promise you won't be disappointed. Those, and it, again, surprised me none that it's 90s versus Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. Again, I think I'm with you. I don't want to pick which one's going to win. I have my suspicions, but I think it's going to be difficult for people to vote on that.
Yeah,
because I agree. Those two just fucking ran right through the polls.
Oh, yeah. They won in all their matchups very easily.
And that speaks to the strength of those episodes and why we like them. Mm-hmm. And if we like them so much, then people that have listened to that definitely resonated with people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think in podcasting, and again, we'll get to this next week, but when it comes to podcasting, it's not just the topic you're talking about, it's the delivery. Mm-hmm. And I think even though Plandemic is when we, you know, theoretically or topically hit our, you know, groove.
Well, I think it's just where we broadened our horizons a little bit. Yeah.
But with these two episodes, I think this is peak while she's napping, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. All right. So we'll have that poll up later today. So we'll be up by the time you listen.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. head on over to Instagram, go to Instagram.com/whileshesnapping or at while she's napping. Sometimes people like to do Instagram on the desktop, I guess.
Sure.
I do it sometimes. but if you're on the app at while she's napping, participate in the polls. Let us know what you think. 90s versus Rhode Island. I guess it's me versus you right now.
I guess so.
That means you're going to win.
I already won on the Britney Spears Limp Bizkit thing.
Yeah, default, whatever. Yeah. I don't think you did. Mm-hmm. Next week, we're going to continue our sort of sporadic So You Wanna series. So we have So You Wanna Have a Kid, So You Wanna Get Married. Now we're going to do So You Wanna Start a Podcast. And even though we covered our podcasting and what it has meant to us with this show in obviously long form, we're going to get into the intricacies of what, you know, if you're interested in starting a podcast, what you should do, helpful resources you can utilize, where to host it, how to do it. I think the amount of times I've seen on Reddit on r/podcasting, I want to start a podcast but don't know where to begin. I think an episode on that is sort of meta. People will appreciate that.
Sure.
So that's what we're going to do. But that's going to do it for this episode. Again, happy 1-year anniversary, birthday, whatever, to While She's Napping. We really appreciate that participation. We really appreciate you guys listening all the way through. If you've hopped on midway or whatever, we still thank you very much. This has been overwhelming for us, and we really, really appreciate it. Listening to my wife and I banter while our child sleeps. That being said, please subscribe to us on whatever your favorite podcatcher is, or if you're listening to us on YouTube, subscribe to us there. Leave us 5 stars, a like, share, let your friends know about While She's Napping. We appreciate it. And if you want to participate in the polls or shoot us a message or whatever, you can.
We're on Facebook, facebook.com/whileshesnapping, on Instagram at whileshesnapping, on Twitter at shesnappingpod, or you can email us at whileshesnapping@gmail.com.
Hit us up, and until next week, thanks.
Peace. Bye.